I would be remiss if I didn't tell and ask all of you to say an amen to the Heritage Singers. You've provided a steady beat, and your role during this service is to keep us on that steady beat. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. I'm not going to give you a traditional Black History reflection this morning. And at the same time, I'm going to celebrate our culture, our language, and all of us. But I want to ask some different questions as we look at who we are in this country of Canada and look and understand this Black experience in Canada and what that means for the present and what it means for the future. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm going to do a couple of things. I have a basket here, which I'm going to invite you to look at during the piece or after the service. This contains all of our current history of what's going on in Canada at the moment. I usually give dismantling racism workshops for the Diocese of Toronto, and I have been collecting since 2009 every article in the Globe and Mail and the Star which deals with this issue. This is only a small sample. Look at it. A small sample of the continuing story and the continuing narrative that we've been singing about and this steady beat we need to pay some attention to. So I want you to look at that as we go on. So let me start with a prayer poem, which I'm going to intersperse throughout this reflection. And I want to say one other thing. I'm going to mention all three of the readings this morning, because they're rich in what they have to say to us. They're rich in the challenges that they present to us. And they raise some serious questions to us and for us. So let me begin with this prayer. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the light of Christ might be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. Seek, O Lord, and fulfill in us all the purposes of your glory. Amen. Let these readings that we have heard this morning begin a new conversation among us that brings together in this place and other places that we inhabit all of the human imagination and creative thinking that's possible for us. We are the people of God, and our work as the baptized is to create through this celebration one of many of Black history, a future for ourselves, and to create it in such a way to reflect how our lives ought to be lived as a community of faith united with Jesus Christ. So today what we celebrate is this: seeing the face of God in each other, or seeing the race of God in all people. God of spaciousness, reach into my inner space, sweep out all the old clutter, and we have plenty of that. Enlarge our capacity to receive. So in Leviticus this morning, rules of engagement of how we are to enlarge our capacity to receive each other are given. We're not to steal. We're not to falsely deal with one another or lie to one another. We're not to steal. We need to be just. We should not bear grudges. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. When it comes to our experience of oppression in Canada, how often are these rules applied to us? How often are we lied to? How often are we dealt with unjustly? How often are grudges born against us? And how does that look like? Segregation. Definition of us as other. Visible minority. All of those things. All of those categories. How do we deal with our experience of that and how we move beyond that and dealing with what Leviticus asks us to become as a people of God? How do we take our lives in 2017 and integrate it with this rule of Leviticus? That's a challenge. And how do we do that in the context of what we're celebrating today? These are not words of piety. These are words that are asking us to be with one another in ways that stretch us, that challenge us, and attacks the status quo. That's how I want you to look at this reading. Bringer of truth. Empty me of whatever impedes the growth of our relationship. Help me recognize and accept your sources for my growth. So this reading for Corinthians tells us that our growth and our foundation is in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the source of our growth. Jesus can empty us of whatever gets in the way of our life with others in community. Jesus provides the inner focus for us to keep our eyes on the prize, which is freedom, liberation, and transformation of our lives, both individually and corporately. An example of that is that insert that I asked to be put in your program called the Wood Carver. Each of us must be a wood carver. Each of us must be focused on who we are and what we need to become. And look at the wood carver. He produced a work of art, and people thought it was magic and that he had a secret. And then what he outlines is the process by which he was able to create. He forgot about the prints. He forgot about rules of engagement. He forgot about what everybody thought. Read it. Listen to what he did. And we are asked to do the same thing in our lives. And finally, to summarize the gospel before I move on, what the text asks us to do faithful friend, deepen my trust in you. Ease my doubts, fears, and discouragements. When I'm feeling vulnerable, remind me that you are my safe haven. And the message of this morning's gospel is to forgive and love those who hate you. That's a challenge. It certainly is for me. I don't know about you. So for me, these three readings raise some questions for me. How do these readings impact on our journey this month as Black people in the diaspora? How do we keep our eyes on the prize? How do we deepen our trust in God as we deal with the day-to-day realities of our lives as individuals and as communities? What are we to remember? And what are we supposed to forget in order to accomplish all of these goals? So when I sang this morning with you, lift every voice and sing, which I have sung for the last 40 years, and I hear hope and encouragement, and I hear about maintaining a steady beat, all that is true. But what I've begun to realize, and I'm close to 70, so it takes a while for me, that those words that we sang this morning have no meaning for me unless I understand the story behind that song. Do you know the story? Do you know your story? Do you know the story of Black people in Canada? And if you don't, how can you sing this song? You don't know the story. You don't know when victory would be won. You don't know what it looks like. How can you sing if you don't remember? If you've chosen to forget because it was easier to survive? So why do we celebrate this month? As you know, I'm an American. One of the things we used to say, many of us, when it came down to February, well, here we go again. We've got the shortest month. And we're going to spend time on music and food and clothes. And that's the sum total of our culture and the sum total of our experience. And then we move on to March, which in the U.S. is Women's Month. We give them 30 days. And then we go to May, which is the month of La Raza, where we honor our Hispanic brothers and sisters, and they get 31 days. We get 28. Just think about that, because that's a critique of our systems. That's a critique of how we celebrate. It's a critique of the way we use symbols to honor ourselves or dishonor ourselves. And so you need to know the story, which is what this is about. How do the values expressed in Leviticus, Corinthians, and Matthew become part of what we need to remember our story, or what to do with what we remember of our story? What is the story we must tell ourselves and our children about living in this country so we can sing a song full of the faith that the dark past has taught us, sing a song full of the hope that the present has brought us? Where's the story to support that? What do we need to know about our life here as individuals and communities so that we can march on till victory is won? And then in the final stanza, we've been brought thus far on the way. Really? If you don't know the story, how can you ask for light and vision to forge a new way? And how do each of us become complicit in our own oppressions and our own not telling the story and our own refusal to tell the story to our children and our own refusal to ask our educational system to participate in telling the story of the contributions we have made in this country. We are complicit in that. And how many of us get angry when we hear that? I don't want to hear that nonsense. So let me share a little of this story. I'm looking at, where's the picture of Viola Desmond that was up by her sister? Is that up there? Can you put it back up there for a minute? And while we're waiting for it, the picture of Viola Desmond's sister, which is up there, is a memorial to a book, which I'm sure every one of you have and have read, which is the life story of Viola Desmond. And let me, and to talk about the amnesia of our world, in the Star, on January the 30th, 2016, just a little over a year ago, here is what Jennifer Hunter said about this book and Viola Desmond and our amnesia as Canadians. Have you ever heard of Viola Desmond? I hadn't until a book about her arrived on my desk. She was essentially the Rosa Parks of Canada, a black woman who refused to leave her seat in a white section of a theater in Nova Scotia, just as Parks refused to give up her seat in the white section of a bus in Montgomery. Who really knew, she writes, that there was this type of racism in Canada? This was written a year ago, not 1946. Desmond was arrested and charged with breaking the law in 1946. The Supreme Court of Nova Scotia upheld that conviction, by the way. Her pardon came decades after her death in 1965, and she died in the United States. And then she goes on to say, this is part of the story, multiple stories of who we are as a people, as a country. Canadians always think we were better about accepting others than the Americans. Who knew that J.S. Woodsworth, leader of the left-wing CCF, was against the immigration of people of color or different religions? Who knew the Ku Klux Klan was huge in Canada in the 1930s? I grew up in Toronto in the 1960s and knew about anti-Semitism and bias against Haitian immigrants, but didn't appreciate the difficulties blacks experienced since their arrival in Canada with the French in the 18th century. And she goes on. That's part of the story. And you know what? We are all inheritors of all of these pieces of the story. Even if we came here in 1980 or 1990 or 1967, we are all inheritors of that story and that tradition. And we are only become whole when we take on all of those various stories and make them our own, because they are. So this month of February, in addition to having wonderful clothes and listening to the Heritage Singers, who I hope sing every Sunday, actually, and besides all the wonderful food that's being prepared in the back, that's me projecting, what we about? Do you also know that there is a black religious tradition in Canada, very much like the United States? Do you know that BME and AME have been in Canada since the 1840s? Here is the black religious tradition played the same roles in developing leadership and fighting for our rights as the black church did in the United States. How many people know that? This video, and I brought four of them that are interesting, is called Seeking Salvation. It's the history of the black church in Canada. Everybody I have asked, at least Anglicans, black or white, have you seen this was produced in 2004? Do you know anything about this? Oh, no, I've never heard of it. That's the same thing Jennifer was talking about what Canada, Canadians don't know about our history or any of it. Then there is this one, which I have used with groups in the diocese, In the Shadow of Gold Mountain, which talks about the oppression of the Chinese in Canada and the Canadian government forcing them to have cards as we did First Nations. Or that the Japanese were interred as they were in the United States. And lost property and business, and most have never recovered them. And do we know about the organization of Sleeping Pullman Porters, which was an organization of black men who ran the trains across Canada, who were part and parcel of helping to organize the civil rights campaign that began in 46 after Viola Desmond's lawsuit was not overturned. And they organized black communities all across Canada. All we know is the Underground Railroad. Do most of you know that most of the all-black towns were in southern Ontario no longer exist? None of this is to say there's something wrong. None of this is imply that there's something wrong with us. All of this is to say is that there is no single story. And most of us in Canada have been taught a single story. There are varieties of stories in this country, reflected in the numerous people who represent this country. The single story dehumanizes everybody. Multiple stories humanize us. Multiple stories create strategy for expanding the quality of our lives together as a country and as a people. The single story and the single narrative takes everybody out. So knowing the story helps us to connect. And the last thing I want to say, because I've gone on too long, is that it has to do with the last line in today's gospel. And this is what each of us needs to do. It said, as I recall, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Who said that? Jesus. Jesus made one other statement, and I'm calling this a provocative purpose statement. And all of us need to have one. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He didn't say, I'm trying to be the light of the world. He said, I am the light of the world. That was his provocative purpose statement about who he was and everything he did reflected that understanding of himself and his purpose. What I'm challenging each of you is that you need to come up with your own provocative purpose statement. So when I said Jesus said, I am the light of the world, he did not say he's trying to be the light of the world or he's aspiring to be the light of the world. He said he is the light of the world. Likewise, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Every person in this room needs a statement like that about yourselves. That's the challenge of these three readings today. That's the challenge of dealing with the single story of our history. If your faith is to become powerful, if your relationships are to be meaningful, if this country is going to be greater than it is and reach the potentials that are possible, we need a provocative purpose statement, something that is challenging, something that is stretching, and something that pushes the status quo completely out the window. I am the light of the world is challenging, stretching, and it certainly moves out of the status quo. And you are all asked to do the same in the context of your life. And so let us pray. Speak, O Lord, and renew our minds. Help us grasp the heights of your plans for us, truths unchanged from the dawn of time that will echo down through eternity. And by grace, we'll stand on your promises. Didn't we just sing that in the opening hymn? And by faith, we'll walk as you walk with us. Did we not say that in the second stanza of the opening hymn? O Lord, speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory. Amen. Amen. Enjoy these treats. Look them over. Discover yourselves. Play with it. Open your hearts, open your minds, open yourself to each other. And again, I say amen.